Okay, good to see everybody. Got everybody on. Got different people from Australia, New Zealand, Europe, Serbia, America. Okay, it's very good to see everybody. Let's see. Oh, man. Radha Smarna is joining us again. Good to see you again. Okay, well, we'll start right now. Everybody ready? We're going to chant Jaya Radha Madhava. Jaya Radha Madhava Kunja Bihari. Jaya Radha Madhava Kunja Bihari, Gopi Janabalapa Kiri Badadahude, Gopi Janabalapa Kiri Badadahude, Yashoda Nandana Braja Jana Ranjana, Yashoda Nandana Braja Jana Ranjana Yamuna Tira Vanachari, Yamuna Tira Vanachari, Jaya Radha Madhava Kunja Bihari, Jaya Radha Madhava Kunja Bihari, Gopi Jana Balaba Kiri Bharat Hahude, Gopi Jana Balaba Kiri Bharat Hahude, Yashoda Nandana Braja Jana Ranjana, Yashoda Nandana Braja Jana Ranjana, Yamuna Tira Banachari, Yamuna Tira Banachari, Jaya Radha Madhava Kunja Bihari, Jaya Radha Madhava Kunja Bihari, Jai Om Vishnu Pad, Paramahansa Parvatakacharya, Austo Terasatashi Shimad, His Divine Grace Avaya Chadanana Bhaktivedanta Goswami, Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai, ISKCON Founder Acharya, Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. Anadakoti Vaishnava Vrindi Gajai Namacharya Srila Haridas Thakur Gajai Param Se Kaho Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shidwaita Gadadha Shiva Siddhi Gaur Bhakta Vrindi Gajai Shri Shri Radha Krishna Gopi Gopinath Shyam Kunda Radhakunda Giri Govardhan Gajai Vrindavanam Gajai Maturadam Gajai Jagannath Swami Gajai Yamunabai Kajai, Srimati Dalasi Devi Kajai, Samaveda Bhakta, Vrindi Kajai, Gaur Premananda Hari Hari Gaur. All glories the assembled devotees, all glories the assembled devotees, all glories the assembled devotees, all glories to Shri Guru and Gauranga, Srila Prabhupada Kajai, Gaur Premananda Hari 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 Gaur. Nama Om Vishnu Padaya, Krishna Pristaya Bhutale, Srimati Bhaktivedanta Swamini Trinamani, Namaste Saraswati Deve Gauravani Pacharani, Nirvishesha Shunyabadi Pashacha, Deja Tarani, Sa Omaganati Vedandasha, Gananjana Shalakaya Chakshur Militam Yena Tasmai, Shri Gurave Namaha. Okay, we'd like to welcome Mancha too. Coming to this evening's class, good to see you. See who else is new. Gopal, he's new. That's a joke. Anyway, so, all right, so. Now we're going to go to the Chaitanya Charitamrita, and we're starting with the first chapter of the Chaitanya Charitamrita, sixth verse. And so before we read the Chaitanya Charitamrita, we chant this very nice verse. Jaya Jaya Shri Chaitanya Jaya Nityananda Jaya Dvaita Chandra Jaya Gaur Bhaktivinoda Jaya Jaya Shri Chaitanya Jaya Nityananda Jaya Dvaita Chandra Jaya Gaur Bhaktivinoda Jaya Jaya Shri Chaitanya Jaya Nityananda Jaya Dvaita Chandra Jaya Gaur Bhaktivinoda. So just to remind everybody that usually we continue to about 5:50 or 5:49 and then we take questions. So please remember the questions that you might have. And now we're going to share our screen. Chaitanya Charitamrita Ki Jai. Shri Radhaya Pranaya Mahima Kidrisho Manayaiva Swadyo Yanadbhuta Mahurima Kidrisho Vamadiha Sokyam Chashamara Nubhavata Kidrisham Veti Lobat Padmavata Adad Bhavadya Samachani Sachigarbha Sindhau Harindu. And so the translation is, desiring to understand the glory of Radharani's love, the wonderful qualities in him that she alone relishes through her love, and the happiness she feels when she realizes the sweetness of his love, the Supreme Lord Hari, richly endowed with her emotions, appeared from the womb of Srimati Sachi Devi as the moon appeared from the ocean. So, of course, this is the list of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's esoteric reasons for appearing in this world. Now, there's two reasons that the Lord appears in this world. There are two categories of reasons. One is the esoteric reason, or the esoteric reasons, and the other is the exoteric reasons. Now, for those of you who don't know what that means, exoteric means things that just about everybody knows about. For example, an exoteric reason for Krishna's appearance over 5,000 years ago is Paritranaya Sadunam Vinashaya Chadushkritam. That to establish religious principles, protect the devotees, and annihilate the bad guys. So that's the exoteric reason. But the esoteric reason that Krishna appeared over 5,000 years ago was to enjoy ras with his devotees. Ras means a loving exchange. And also to show all of us the nature of the Supreme Personality of Godhead so we would become attracted. Because if Krishna had not appeared, people would be forced to speculate upon the nature of God, which they're doing anyway. But at least we have information about what God looks like, what his activities are, what the nature or natures of his personality are, so we can actually develop love of God. So these are the esoteric reasons. All right. So the exoteric reason for Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's appearance is to spread love of God. Kalir Deshan and Doshan Hey Rajan Ashiko Mahadguna Kirtana Deva Krishna Shabukta Sangha Paramajat. That those who have sufficient intelligence in this age of Kali, even though this age of Kali is an ocean of quarrel, Kalir Doshan Nidhe Rajan Ashiko Mahadguna Kirtana Deva Krishna Shabukta Sangha Paramajat will engage in the Sankirtan movement. So, anyway, so the chanting of the Lord's holy names or the propagation of the Lord's holy names is actually the exoteric reason for Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's advent. And the esoteric reason is mentioned in this verse, that is his own personal hidden reasons, that Krishna wanted to understand Radharani's love And not only did Krishna want to understand Radharani's love, which he couldn't understand from his position as the Supreme Personality of Godhead, but he wanted to understand his own attractive features, because Krishna is the ultimate egotist. Not false egotist. He's the ultimate egotist. So he is in love with himself. It's like there's many stories depicting pastimes where Krishna looks at a reflection of himself in a river or on a lake, and he just falls in love with himself. So Krishna wants to see himself through the eyes of his to the highest degree through her love. And then finally, Radharani experiences more happiness than Krishna does. Well, the internet connection, unstable, a message. Hopefully it doesn't remain unstable. So Radharani experiences more happiness than Krishna does, and Krishna wants to experience that happiness. Incidentally, we can experience, not to the same degree, of course, but the happiness to a certain degree that Radharani is experiencing by pleasing the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So Krishna wants to experience that. So Krishna appears with Radharani's emotions, her bhav. Bhav means basically emotions. He appears from the womb of Sachi Devi. Next verse. Sankarsana karana toyas shahi garbhoda shai cha payodi shahi jesus cha yasyam shakala samicha nandakyo rama sharanam mamatsu. No, sorry. Mamatsu. May Sri Nityananda Ram be the object of my constant remembrance. Sankarshan, Seshanag, and the Vishnus who lie in the Karna Ocean, Garbha Ocean, and Ocean of Milk are his plenary portions and portions of his plenary portions. Now, what do we mean by plenary? It means the same plane. They're non-different from Krishna, Lord Nityananda, Balaram, Advaita, Achyuta, Nadir, Ananta Rupa Madhyam, Purana, Prisham, Navi Yovanam Cha. That's described in the Brahma Samhita. They're all the same person, but they act differently in different circumstances. That's why we use the word plenary portion. We are expansions of Krishna too, but we are not plenary portions. We are Vibhinamsa, which means a very small, separated portions. But these are plenary portions on the same plane. And so you have the expansions of Krishna. Let's talk about Krishna first. Krishna, Balaram, then Aniruddha, Prajuna and Aniruddha, sorry. And then you have the additional quadruple expansions. That is Vasudeva, Sankarshan, Prajuna, Aniruddha. And then an expansion from those expansions are the quadruple expansions, the Chaturvyuha. And so these are portions or portions of plenary portions. So Lord Nityananda is an expansion of Krishna, is an expansion of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, of course. And from him, Sankarshan, Seshanag, and the Vishnus, they all expand. Okay, it's pretty easy to understand. Mayatite vyapi vaikuntha loke Purnaishvarya Sri Chatur Vyuha Madhye Rupam Yashodvati Sankarshanat Sankarshanakyam Tam Sri Nityananda Ramam Prapadye. Okay. I surrender unto the lotus feet of Sri Nityananda Ram, who is known as Sankarshan in the midst of the Chaturvyuha, which I mentioned before, consisting of Vasudeva, Sankarshan, Prajuna, and Aniruddha. He possesses full opulences and resides in Vaikuntha Loka, far beyond the material creation. We should understand that the worshipable deity of Krishna's Kaviraj Goswami is the author of the Chaitanya Charitamrita, is Lord Nityananda. Text 9. Maya Varta Janda Sangashrayanga Shaite Sakshat Karanam Bodhi Madje Yashai Kangsha Sri Pumanadhi Devas Tam Sri Nityananda Ramam Prapadje. I offer my full obeisances unto the feet of Nityananda Ram, whose partial representation is called Karan Nodakshai Vishnu. That's the Vishnu who lies on the Karan of the causal ocean. And he's the original Purusha, the master of the illusory energy and the shelter of all universes. Of course, that's the Mahavishnu. So Mahavishnu lies on the causal ocean, or in the causal ocean. And from his breathing comes all the different universes, and he expands as the Garbhadakshi Vishnu, or expands as the Shiradakshi Vishnu within each and every universe. Yasham sham sak Shri Garbhodashai Yannavyajam Lokasangatanalam Lokasrastu Sutikadamatatus Tam Shri Nityananda Ramam Prapadye. I offer my full obeisances unto the feet of Shri Nityananda Ram, a partial part of whom is Garbhodakshai Vishnu. From the navel of Garbhodakshai Vishnu sprouts the lotus that is the birthplace of Brahma, the engineer of the universe. The stem of that lotus is the resting place of the multitude of planets. And I think this is pretty easy to understand. As I mentioned before, you have Mahavishnu expands the Garbhodakshai Vishnu. Garbhodakshai Vishnu gives birth to Lord Brahma from his navel, and the stem of the lotus flower upon which Lord Brahma is born contains all the different planets and planetary systems. Text 11. Yasyam sham sham sa para paramat gilanam Oshta Vishnurvati Durgdabdi Shahi Shoni Vartayat Kala Sopyanantas Tam Shri Nityananda Ramam Prapadye. I offer my respectful obeisances unto the feet of Shri Nityananda Ram, whose secondary part is the Vishnu lying in the ocean of milk. That's Shiradakshai Vishnu. That Shiradakshai Vishnu is the super soul of all living entities and the maintainer of all the universes. Seshanag is his further subpart. Seshanag, of course, is the serpent upon which Shiradakshai Vishnu rests in the milk ocean. Mahavishnu jagat karta mayaya dya shijat yada tasyavatara hivayam Advaitacharya Hishvaraha. Lord Advaitacharya is the incarnation of Mahavishnu, whose main function is to create the cosmic world through the actions of Maya. So here, Advaitacharya is affirmed as Vishnu Tattva. So the three members of the Vishnu Tattva that are members of the Pancha Tattva are Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, Lord Nityananda, and Advaitacharya. And then you have Shakti Tattva, who is Gadadhar Pandit Goswami, non-different from Radharani. And then you have Jiva Tattva, who is Srivas Thakur, who is Narada Muni. Advaitam Hadanat Vaitad Acharyam Bhakti Shamsanat Bhaktavataram Isham Tam Advaitacharyam Ashraye. Because he is non-different from Hari, the Supreme Lord, he is called Advaita. Advaita means dual, Advaita means non-dual. And because he propagates the cult of devotion, he is called Acharya. He is the Lord in the incarnation of the Lord's devotee. Therefore, I take shelter of him. Panchatattva makam krishnam Bhakti Rupa Swarupakam Bhakta Avataram Bhaktakyam Namami Bhakta Shaktikam. I offer my obeisances unto the Supreme Lord Krishna, who is non-different from his feature as a devotee, devotional incarnation, devotional manifestation, pure devotee, and devotional energy. Those members of the Panchatattva. You have Lord Chaitanya, Lord Nityananda, in order, Dvaitacharya, Gadadhar Pandit Goswami, pure devotee, that Srivas, and Gadadhar Pandit Goswami is the devotional energy. Jayatam sudata pangor mama manda mater gati matsarvasva padambojao radha madana mohanao. Glory to the all merciful Radha and Madan Mohan. I am lame and ill advised, yet they are my directors and their lotus feet are everything to me. As I mentioned yesterday, Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami left his hearth and home after his brother offended Lord Nityananda and went to Vrindavan at the ripe old age of over 80 years. And so it's described he was almost blind, certainly he was lame, but as also described in the Chaitanya Charitamrita, by the mercy of Lord Chaitanya, a lame man can walk or cross or climb a mountain, a blind man can see, or a dog can swim an ocean. Divya Vrindaranya Kapa Dhrumada Srimad Radhagara Singhasanastau Srimad Radha Srila Govinda Tivo Prestalibi Sivyamanao Smarami. In a temple of jewels in Vrindavan underneath a desire tree, Shri Shri Radha Govinda, served by their most confidential associates, sit upon an effulgent throne. I offer my humble obeisances unto them. So, just to give you a little bit of understanding of Govardhan, in the middle of Govardhan, there is a very special area called the Shamkutir. Now, Shamkutir in this particular instance means the kutir that is dark. And within this Shamkutir area, there's the Ratna Singhasana of Shri Shri Radha Govinda. And any of you who want to go to Vrindavan or go to Govardhan, you can come with me and I can take you to this very secluded place. And there's a Ratnakund there too. Ratnakund means like a lake. That's right next to where the Ratna Singhasana was standing. It's a very special holy place. In the middle of Govardhan, when Govardhan is under the earth, so we can go there without stepping on Govardhan. So Ratna Singhasana. Also, in that particular location, something else happened. It was a little dramatic. There was the kidnapping of Radharani, because this demon, the Shankachuda demon, came and tried to kidnap Radharani. Actually, he didn't touch Radharani, although it appeared that he touched Radharani, just like we understand that Ravana never touched Sita Devi, just he touched Ayasita. So there was a manifestation of Radharani, a Maya or illusory manifestation of Radharani that the Shankachuda touched, and Krishna killed the Shankachuda demon, took the conch shell from Shankachuda, gave it to Balaram, and Balaram gave that conch shell jewel, to Srimati Radharani. Srimati Radharani later on gave it to the sun god. Wow. And the sun god later on gave it to Satrajit. And that jewel, in the shape of a conch shell, became the Shyama Taka jewel. And that's described, as everybody knows, in the Lalita Madhava. Okay. Text 17. Sriman Rasa Rasa Rambi Vamshivata Tata Stitaha Karshan Venu Svayra Gopir Gopinatha Shriye Stunaha. So Shri Srila Gopinath, who originated the transcendental mellow of the Rasa dance, stands on the shore in Vamshivata and attracts the attention of the coward damsels with the sound of his celebrated flute. May they all confer upon us their benediction. So what Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami is doing here in the beginning of Chaitanya Charitamrita is evoking the blessings, begging for the blessings, and evoking the blessings of all the great personalities, the spiritual masters, the expansions of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Srimati Radharani, Lord Chaitanya, Nityananda, as we're going to hear, as we have been hearing. Text 18. Jaya Jaya Sri Chaitanya, Jaya Nityananda, Jaya Dvaita Chandra, Jaya Gaura Bhakta Vrinda. Glory to Sri Chaitanya and Nityananda. Glory to Advaita Chandra, and glory to all the devotees of Lord Gaura, Lord Chaitanya. 18th Gaura, Guriyake Karichena Atmasat. 18th Charana, and not. So now we go to Bengali, so it's just a little bit different. If you notice, these three deities of Vrindavan, Madan Mohan, Govinda, and Gopinath, have absorbed the heart and soul of the body of Vaishnavas, followed by Lord Chaitanya. I worship their lotus feet, for they are the lords of my heart. As we mentioned before, yesterday's class, Madan Mohan is the deity of Sambandha Gyan, understanding the Lord's energies and their relationships with each other, and also understanding the Lord. And Govinda is the presiding deity of Avideya, which means devotional service. And Gopinath is the presiding deity of Prayojana, which means going back to home, back to God, and pure devotional service in the spiritual world. And also spiritual, pure devotional service in this world. The author of the Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita offers his respectful obeisances unto the three deities of Vrindavan, namely Sri Radha, Madan Mohan, Sri Radha Govinda Dev, and Sri Radha Gopinathji. These three deities are the life and soul of the Bengali Vaishnavas or Gaudiya Vaishnavas who have a natural aptitude for residing in Vrindavan. Actually, let me explain about these deities before we go on. So Madan Mohan was originally known as Madan Gopal. And he was originally discovered by Advaitacharya, one Advaitacharya. And the deities were originally put there by Brajanava, Krishna's great grandson. So you had Krishna. And of course, Aniruddha was his grandson. Prajuna Aniruddha, and the great-grandson was Brajanava, and Brajanava went there to excavate all of Krishna's holy places and to establish the places where Krishna had his different pastimes. And when Brajanava went to Vrindavan, Krishna and his associates actually appeared again, I wouldn't say magically, but spiritually, and they danced. Wow. So he installed the original deities in Vrindavan. So Radha Madan Mohan was one of the original deities, and he's originally called Madan Gopal. And Madan Gopal was discovered by Advaitacharya. Advaitacharya gave the deity after Advaitacharya left the Braj area, after his visit to the Braj area. He gave the deity to a family in Mathura, and it's described their family name was Chobe Brahmin family. And they were not so expert in deity worship. Actually, they were worshiping on the platform of Raghunuga. So instead of putting the deity on the altar, they actually treated the deity just like their little son. And they sat the deity at the dinner table. Their other son was playing marbles with the deity, not as the deity's a marble, but you know, with the deity as deity was another child. So in this way, they were enjoying life, treating Madan Gopal like their little son, until Sanatana Goswami came along and saw what they were doing, and he really said, this is not appropriate. You should put him on the altar and worship him with awe and reverence. So that night, Sanatana Goswami had a dream, and Madan Gopal, who later on became Madan Mohan, appeared to Sanatana Goswami and chastised him and said, look, you spoiled all my fun. Now I'm just sitting on this stupid altar all the time. Previously, I was able to interact with this wonderful, loving family. Now you have to take care of me. And so, what happened at that particular juncture, Sanatana Goswami said, I'm not going to take care of you. I got too much else to do. Lord Chaitanya has told me to excavate the holy places, chant Hare Krishna too, and write some books. So, no. But then this Brahmin family had a dream, the Chobi Brahmin family had a dream, and they were told by Madan Gopal to leave the deity outside of Sanatana Goswami's hut. And Sanatana Goswami said, all right, you're just going to have to live like I am and just eat some dried bread balls. That's all I'm eating. And the bread balls are actually dried and cooked in the sun. No fire for me. And the deity agreed to do that. And later on, we know the deity complained because there wasn't enough salt. And Sanatana Goswami said, look, now you want salt. Later on, you're going to want ghee. So if you want any of these things, you got to do it for yourself. You got to make the arrangement yourself. And so the deities made an arrangement by basically saving, I'm a short story, making a long story short, by saving a salt barge that had been stuck on a sandbar in the Yamuna River. And so the money from the sale of that salt, because the owner was very grateful, was used to construct the temple of Madan Mohan. And of course, Govindaji, that's another nice story with Srila Rupa Goswami, that Rupa Goswami was informed by the villagers that, and he also had a dream that Govinda revealed to him that he was buried in the area and that every day a cow would drop some milk on the ground in a specific place. And the villagers also informed him about that. And he went to that place and he found Govinda under the earth. Now the reason that these deities were under the earth or in various places was because Vrindavan at that time had been subject to many attacks by the Muslims who would go and try to destroy the deities and kill the devotees like that. And as far as the story of Radha Gopinath, you have to look that up. These three deities are the life and soul of the Bengali Vaishnavas or Gaudiya Vaishnavas who have a natural aptitude for residing in Vrindavan. The Gaudiya Vaishnavas who follow strictly in the line of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu worship the divinity by chanting transcendental sounds meant to develop a sense of one's transcendental relationship with the Supreme Lord, a reciprocation of mellows, rasas, of mutual affection. Remember, we're talking about rasas. Rasas means taste or mellows, of mutual affection, which means love, mutual love, and ultimately the achievement of the desired success in loving service. These three deities are worshipped in three different stages of one's development. We mentioned that. In the beginning, there's Madan Mohan. And we mentioned Madan Mohan is the deity of Sambandhagyan. That means basic knowledge of Krishna consciousness or the different tattvas and the relationship or relationships between the different tattvas. Like the Lord, the Jiva soul, the material energy, spiritual energy, and we know in Bhagavad Gita talks about five topics, like time, karma, the Lord, material energy, and the jiva. So that's sambandha gyan, and that's the beginning of devotional service. You learn about the theoretical relationship of all these different factors, between all these different factors. And then, what do you do about it? That's avideya. Let's go back a little bit. So the reason Madan Mohan is the presiding deity of Sambandhagyan is that Madan Mohan attracts one from this material energy. So Madan is what? Cupid. So all of us are attracted to Cupid. What does Cupid mean? It doesn't mean just like romance and stuff like that. But it means any type of sensory enjoyment because Cupid has five different arrows, which are the objects of the senses. So if you're attracted to satisfying your tongue or your belly or your eyes or your ears by hearing some Bollywood songs or something like that. That's also Cupid. Believe me, that's also Cupid. So Madan Mohan means he who attracts Cupid, or he who attracts people who are enamored with Cupid. So we need to have this higher taste, as described by Krishna in the Bhagavad Gita. What does he say? Raso varjam rasyo pyasha parandrisha vivartite. That experiencing this higher taste, one becomes fixed in consciousness. So that's Madan Mohan. And of course, that's a name of Krishna, Madan Mohan. He who attracts Cupid. And there's also Madan Mohan Mohini. And that is very interesting. That means the attractor of the person who attracts or negates Cupid. And that's Radharani. So anyway, so that's Madan Mohan. And then the second deity, of course, is Govindaji, the presiding deity of devotional service. That is devotional service in practice, devotional service in ecstasy, devotional service in bhava. That's ecstasy, of course. Spontaneous devotional service, and pure devotional service. So anyway, so the reason it is Radha Govinda is that Govinda means the pleaser of the senses or engager of the senses. Okay. Govinda, and also the cows too. But in this particular context, we're not talking about cows, we're talking about senses. And then Gopinath, the Prayojana, that means the ultimate goal, going back to home, back to Godhead, engaging in Krishna's eternal pastimes in the spiritual world. That's Gopinath, or Lord of the Gopis. It's easy to understand. So Gaudiya Vaishnavas perceive the ultimate objective in Vedic hymns composed of 18 transcendental letters that adore Krishna as Madan Mohan Govinda and Gopi Jana Balava. And that's in reference to the Gayatri mantras, which some of you may or may not have. And hopefully in the future you continue with Krishna consciousness and you will get initiated in the Gayatri mantras. Madan Mohan is he who charms Cupid. That's what I talked about before. The god of love. Govinda is he who pleases the senses and the cows and engages the senses. And Gopi Jana Balava is the transcendental lover of the gopis. Krishna himself is called Madan Mohan, Govinda, Gopi Jana Balava, and countless other names as he plays in his different pastimes with his devotees. The three deities, Madan Mohan, Govinda, and Gopi Jana Balava, have very specific qualities. Worship of Madan Mohan is on the platform of reestablishing our forgotten relationship with the personality of God as a beginning. In the material world, we are presently in utter ignorance of our eternal relationship with the Supreme Lord. Pongal refers to one who cannot move independently by his own strength. And Manda Matahe is one who is less intelligent because he is too absorbed in materialistic activities. It is best for such persons not to aspire for success in fruitive activities or mental speculation, but instead simply to surrender to the Supreme Personality of God. The perfection of life is simply to surrender to the Supreme. In the beginning of our spiritual life, we must therefore worship Madan Mohan so that he may attract us and nullify our attachment for material sense gratification. This relationship with Madan Mohan is necessary. Okay. This relationship with Madan Mohan is necessary for neophyte devotees. Actually, also necessary for advanced devotees. Necessary means you can't do without it. It's an essential item or essential type of worship. When one wishes to render service to the Lord with strong attachment, one worships Govinda on a platform of transcendental service. Govinda is the reservoir of all pleasures. When by the grace of Krishna and the devotees, one reaches perfection in devotional service, he can appreciate Krishna as Gopi Jana Balava, the pleasure deity of the damsels of Braj. Very interesting. Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu explained this mode of devotional service in three stages, and therefore these worshipable deities were installed in Vrindavan by different Goswamis. They are very dear to the Gaudiya Vaishnavas there who visit the temples at least once a day. Besides the temples of these three deities, many other temples have been established in Vrindavan, such as the temple of Radha Damodar of Jiva Goswami, the temple of Shyama Sundara of Shyamananda Goswami, the temple of Gokulananda of Lokanath Goswami, and the temple of Radha Raman of Gopal Bhatta Goswami. There are seven principal temples over 400 years old that are the most important of the 5,000 temples now existing in Vrindavan. So, of course, most of the original deities are no longer there in Vrindavan because of the attacks of the Muslims. Now, Radha Raman is still there, but most of the other deities are not there. So when the Muslims started to attack Vrindavan, they took the deities initially to the Radhakund area. They thought they'd be safe there. Then the Muslims caught wind of that, and they went to Radhakund, and then they took the deities all the way to parts of Jaipur and other places so they could be protected. But when they took the deities out of Radhakund or the Radhakund area, the devotees in Radhakund were feeling so much separation from the deities that had been worshipped there for some period of time that they established duplicate temples. That means temples that were duplicates of the temples in Vrindavan. Today, you can actually see these duplicate temples in Radhakund. And if you can't, for some reason, go to Vrindavan, if you just stay in Radhakund and go to them like I do, I visit these various temples and I take the devotees around to these various temples. And they're non-different from those temples. And also in those temples and in the temples in Vrindavan, there is what we call Pratibhu deities, that means replica deities. But these deities, one may say, well, I want to see the real deities. But actually, these deities are non-different from the original deities. So one should understand that. Non-different. You get the same exact blessings. In other places, you'll find more of the original deities that were installed by Brajanabha. For example, in Govardhan, or at Govardhan, you can go through the town of Anyur. Anyur means basically, give me more, which is what Giriraj said when he was being fed during the Anakut ceremony. And they didn't have enough except when they gave him a tulsi leaf. Then he felt satisfied. So there you will find Dauji deity, a Dauji deity and a little Krishna deity right next to him. Beautiful. Black stone deity, and also at the tail of Govardhan, you will see a wonderful deity of Lord Nrisimhadev, Ugra Nrisimhadev. And the pujaris there are very merciful. They let me do some seva and take care of the deities, and I'm very grateful for that. Okay. So Gaudiya indicates the part of India between the southern side of the Himalaya Mountains and the northern part of the Vindhya Hills, which is called Aryavarta, or the land of the Aryans. This portion of India is divided into five parts or provinces: Pancha Gaura Desh, Saraswata, that's Kashmir and Punjab, Kanyakubja, Uttara Pradesh, including the modern city of Lucknow, Madhya Gaura, that's Madhya Pradesh, Mathila, Bihar, and part of Bengal, and Utkala, part of Bengal and the whole of Orissa. Bengal is sometimes called Gaura Desh partly because it forms a portion of the Mathila and partly because the capital of the Hindu king Raja Lakshmana Sen was known as Gaura. This old capital later on became known as Gaurapura and gradually Mayapur. The devotees of Orissa are called Udyas. The devotees of Bengal are called Gaudiyas, and the devotees of southern India are known as Dravida devotees. As there are five provinces in Aryavarta, so Dakshinacha, southern India, is also divided into five provinces, which are called Pancha Dravida. The four Vaishnavacharyas, who are the great authorities of the four Vaishnava disciplic successions, as well as Sripad Shankaracharya of the Mayavada school, appeared in the Pancha Dravida provinces. Among the four Vaishnavacharyas, who were all accepted by the Gaudiya Vaishnavas, Sri Ramanujacharya appeared in the southern part of Andhra Pradesh at Mahabhutapuri. Sri Madhvacharya appeared at Pajakam near Vimanagiri in the district of Mangalore. Sri Vishnuswami appeared at Panja, and Sri Nimbarka appeared at Mungera Patana in the extreme south. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu accepted the chain of disciplic succession from Madhvacharya. But the Vaishnavas in his line do not accept the Tattvavadis, who also claim to belong to the Madhva Sampradaya. To distinguish themselves clearly from the Tattvavadi branch of Madhva's descendants, the Vaishnavas of Bengal prefer to call themselves Gaudiya Vaishnavas. Sri Madhvacharya is also known as Sri Gauda Purnananda. And therefore, the name Madhva Gaudiya Sampradaya is quite suitable for the disciplic succession of the Gaudiya Vaishnavas. Our spiritual master, Om Vishnupad, Sri Mad Bhakti Sananta Saraswati Goswami Maharaj, accepted initiation in the Madhva Gaudiya Sampradaya. And of course, we also have accepted initiation in the Madhva Gaudiya Sampradaya. But we don't accept what the Tattvavadas teach. And as we read through the Chaitanya Charitamrita, we'll actually see the difference between our understanding of Gaudiya Vaishnavas. I mean, it's a fine point. And the Tattvavadas, who appear to be more or less ritualistic in their understanding of Gaudiya Vaishnavism. Okay, and right now it's 5:50, and tomorrow we'll continue with text 20. So we will take some questions now. Hold on a second. We have a nice amount of people with us tonight. 44 people. Okay, we're going to open up the floor for questions in a second. Okay, you can freely ask questions, hopefully.
Hare Krishna, Guru.
Hare Krishna, Rishikesh.
Good. So, I have a question. Yep, in Kali Yuga, Krishna is not available externally. You know, you cannot, because Krishna is not there in Kali Yuga externally. You have to only pray for the internal darshan.
Yeah.
So in that case, how does the deity play the role? The deity is external.
I know the deity is external. So in that sense, Krishna is available externally, and also in the sense of Krishna's holy name. That's also external for us too. So yes, it is a fact that Krishna appears externally in that particular way. However, we cannot perceive, at least those of us who are not pure devotees, cannot perceive his pastimes if we go to Braj, although these pastimes are taking place right now. They're called the unmanifest aparkrit pastimes in Braj. And some devotees, they make up stories that if you go into certain kunjas at night, Radha and Krishna are dancing. But that's not actually a fact, because they're not manifesting their pastimes, at least for the conditioned souls. And there's that story in the Chaitanya Charitamrita that once upon a time, when Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was in Vrindavan, there was a rumor going around that Krishna every night was dancing on the heads of the Kaliya serpent. And so many people were watching on the banks of the Jamuna, thinking, oh, Krishna has now appeared. And so even Lord Chaitanya's servant, who was Balabhadra Bhattacharya, he actually asked Lord Chaitanya if he could go to the bank of the Yamuna to watch Krishna dancing. He said, I want to see Krishna tonight. And what did Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu do? He slapped him in the face. He said, you think that Krishna is going to appear like this in Kali Yuga? And so later on it was revealed that this particular vision that people had was a vision of a fisherman who was holding a lantern trying to attract the fish, and everybody thought it was Krishna dancing on the effulgent heads or touching the effulgent jewels of the Kaliya Nag. So Krishna does not appear to our eyes, although there are some exceptions, especially with the Goswamis of Vrindavan. We have that story of Raghunath Das Goswami, who was meditating on the banks of the Shyamakund and Radhakund, and it was very, very hot out, and the sun was beating down on him, and Srimati Radharani appeared and covered him with her cloth. And Sanatana Goswami noticed that. He actually witnessed that. And then at the time, there was a tiger who was roaming around, or several tigers that were roaming around the Radhakund and Shyamakund area, and Raghunath Das Goswami was not paying attention to them. He was just simply immersed in the chanting of the Lord's holy names, and Krishna had to stand there with a stick to defend Raghunath Das Goswami. So Raghunath Das Goswami was forced by Sanatana Goswami to build a bhajan kutir on the banks of the Shyamakund. So there are some exceptions to that. However, for us, we see the deities, and the deity is Shakshad Brajendra Nandana. Like we see every day, Radha Galokananda. If one has spiritual eyes and looks at the deities every day, one will see that the deities' expressions are changing every day. Sometimes Krishna is angry, sometimes Krishna is pleased. Just like recently, I told the devotee the story. When Krishna sees his dear devotee dancing for him, like we were very fortunate to have an expert dancer here, one of Krishna's personal dancers who was sent from Goloka. She's not going to like that one. To dance for Krishna, I can actually see Krishna smiling really widely. I go to Mangalarti and Krishna's smiling. But one thing that's disappointing for me, although I see Krishna smiling, that he's not looking at me at all. He's looking at the dancer. And it's like, you know, I am a persona non grata, basically. Here I am chanting, you know, big sannyasi, supposed to be prominent in the Hare Krishna movement, GBC. I should tell Krishna that. I should tell Krishna, you know, I'm a hey, you know, what is this? And here's a lady dancing who happens to be my disciple, and I'm the guru. And Krishna's looking at more of my disciple than the guru. I mean, I'm just thinking, what's going on here? Anyway, so Krishna is directly there in the deity form. But we don't. His pastimes in Braj are not manifest to our eyes, but they are manifest internally to us, if we're on the right platform. Okay?
Thank you very
much. Is that right, Rishikesh?
Yes, Gurudev. Thank you so
okay.
much.
Okay.
Gurudev.
Uh-oh. Congratulations again.
Oh, thank you, Gurudev.
He was just married 2 days ago. And I had to sit through the whole marriage. Okay, so what's the question?
My question is what are the differences between the vow with emotion and vow with commitment?
The bhav with commitment and the bhav with emotion. Commitment is from the intelligence. That's a very interesting question you ask. The intelligence identifies yourself with your intelligence, identifies you as a servant of Krishna. And the intelligence sometimes even can override a spiritual bhav or emotion. And I'll give you an example. Once upon a time, there was one of Krishna's servants, I believe it was Daruka, who was fanning Krishna. And he was so ecstatic to be fanning Krishna, he was going to shake in ecstasy, but he kept his symptoms of ecstasy, his bhav in check, utilizing his intelligence because he wanted to please Krishna. So we are meant to even control our bhav, or bhavas. Sounds like there's pots and pans in your household life already, you know. So we are meant to... rolling pins. All right, so we're... No, that was someone else. That's just a joke. So we are meant to control our even spiritual emotions if it pleases Krishna. The whole point is to please Krishna. Even if we feel completely ecstatic, if that ecstasy is going to interfere with our giving Krishna pleasure, we just keep it down. And we function on the intelligence platform. Okay?
Yes, Krishna.
All right. Thank you. Congratulations again. All right. Give my blessings to your good wife.
Yes.
Hare Krishna, Guru Maharaj.
Hare Krishna, congratulations and Ashivad, blessings.
Hare Krishna, Maharaj, please accept my humble obeisances. Thank you so much, Maharaj. It's all due to your blessings and prayers.
And your determination.
No, Maharaj.
Yeah, so I just pray that you have long, long, happy household life and many, many, many children. And all your children become devotees of Krishna.
Thank you so much, Maharaj.
Pure devotees of Krishna. Okay, that's good. Who else has a question?
Hare Krishna Gurudev.
Okay.
All right, which Hare Krishna Gurudev we have? We have.
Please accept my humble obeisances, Gurudev. This is Krishna Leela, but I'm using Sunil Prabhuji's phone.
Yeah, Krishna Leela.
Okay. Gurudev, you brought a very interesting point because it has been in my mind and it's really been upsetting me because I wasn't sure what to do in this situation, especially when I'm chanting, we have a japa session in the morning and it's on Zoom. But there are times now that there is a lot of ecstasy when I'm crying and chanting, and it's sort of where... you have to lead for 10 or 15 minutes during japa session and is one of the lead of chanting. My question is that one of the devotees actually brought it up that Srila Prabhupada never showed his ecstasy to others. And it is very hard sometimes that when we are chanting not to cry or like it's not, you have to withdraw mentally from Krishna to be conscious to control that. So there's two parts of this. Now, is that right that Srila Prabhupada, how did he maintain in public not to show his ecstasy? Did he never show his ecstasy to anyone?
Let me answer your questions. Once in a while, yes, he generally held back his ecstasy. But as far as your case, because he's an acharya, he understood, yadyada charity shreshtas tatat evet urodinaha, that if he started to just like cry and show ecstasy, then everybody would follow him and they would be cheap imitators. So therefore, Prabhupada didn't do it. But in your particular case, because you're not the acharya yet, maybe one day, because you're not the acharya, I think it's wonderful you're crying while chanting. Actually, it says in the Bhagavad Gita, that he who doesn't feel tears upon chanting the Lord's holy name, his heart or her heart is certainly steel framed. I am very happy. Now, if you start to cry, let it pour while you're chanting. Just do it. Don't worry.
What about other devotees hearing and if they're feeling, oh, am I not getting that feeling? What about them? Should we be conscious about...
put yourself on mute so they don't have to hear you crying.
So if you're leading us, yeah, okay, thank you, Gurudev. And another thing, you have shared a very important concept now that Radhanath Swami actually described how Radharani, I think, put her dupatta on to save him. And even you shared that how Krishna is looking at the dancer. These are confidential experiences. Now, is that okay to share with the other devotees who are new but they are going to be part of Krishna consciousness?
Yeah, it's all right to share. I mean, to your, share your realizations. I mean, if I see Krishna looking at someone and I'm upset because he's not looking at me, then you know, I have to reveal it to someone. Anyways. No, we can share amongst our friends and everything like that. And I mean, it's obvious when you see Krishna looking a certain way, then everybody sees. It's not just me, but everybody could see Krishna looking at the dancer who shall remain nameless, Champakalata. But anyway,
I think we all know who she is.
She's been dancing her whole life for Krishna, and recently her dancing has reached the perfection in the sense that she's doing it for the deities every day. I was thinking, you know, it was nice when she was doing it like for public performances and for Rath Yatra, not just Rath Yatra, but for Janmashtami on a stage. But the real point is to dance for the pleasure of the Lord. That's the real point. And so it's inspired me that even when I'm going to Mangalarti, because I'm not going to be a dancer, at least not in this lifetime, but it inspires me that when I chant, I shouldn't be chanting just because, you know, I like some musical sound or chanting or dancing because it just like makes me feel good, but I should be doing it for the deity's pleasure. So I've learned that. I've learned that from her. No, I actually knew that before. Actually, it's not that I learned it, but it was brought more to the forefront by seeing the dance. And of course, she has her whole dance troupe too now, the new Goloka Vasinis or whatever they are. And they're new Goloka Gopis or whatever they're called. I don't know, she'll give them a name. Who also dance for the deities. And they did a wonderful dance of the Lalita Madhava, an abridged version of Lalita Madhava that we just saw, and it was just like amazing. And Krishna was just watching the whole time.
Wow.
And the interesting thing about the Lalita Madhava, it's actually a play where Krishna is watching a play. So in the case of when they did it in the temple, it was Krishna watching a play of Krishna watching a play of himself. You know, it's really blissful. So I mean, anyway, what I enjoy is actually seeing Krishna happy. That's really our point, to see Krishna happy. And if you feel some emotion, express it. I mean, you're not one of the gurus in the Hare Krishna movement yet. So if I were to do that, then everyone would follow and then we'd have a whole bunch of sahajas. So for you to do it, it's very nice. I have to hold back all my emotions if I have any emotions. But all right, so don't worry, all right?
How do you control it, Maharaj, in front of others?
I eat a lot of prasadam. whenever I feel emotional, I just think of what I'm going to eat. What I'm going to eat for breakfast? I don't know.
I've seen your videos on the vegan diet with a doctor and all that. So now we are getting motivated with being vegan. So you know, thank you so much for that as well.
All right, that's good. Yeah. So the way to one should always be thinking of what's pleasing to Krishna. If it's pleasing to Krishna to exhibit emotions, then one should do that. But if it's going to mislead people or, you know, just be seen as a show, then it's better not to do it. So I just think of what pleases Krishna. But in your case, I am very happy to hear that you're feeling crying when you chant Hare Krishna. And actually, that reminds me of a story in the Chaitanya Charitamrita, where Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu related the story to Prakashananda Saraswati, who was a Mayavadi. And Prakashananda Saraswati said to Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, "Why don't you study Vedanta?" And Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, "I went to my spiritual master, and my spiritual master," Lord Chaitanya was talking, and he said, "I went to my spiritual master and said, 'You're a fool, you're not qualified to study.'" I'm just paraphrasing this, of course. And he said, "You should just chant the holy names." And so then Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, "I just started chanting the holy names that I felt to see, and I went to my spiritual master and said, 'What kind of mantra have you given me?'" And the spiritual master said, "I'm very pleased," because Lord Chaitanya was crying in ecstasy, rolling on the ground in ecstasy. And Lord Chaitanya said that his spiritual master said, "I'm very pleased you've achieved the goal of life, which is ecstatic devotional service, for devotional service." So if I hear of a disciple being in ecstasy chanting, that's really very pleasing to me. So I'm very pleased to hear that. So
thank you.
Of course, you know, don't make a show of it.
No, yes.
Not that. I have to be careful, because if I say that too loudly, then tomorrow I'll be in the, you know, japa, and all the devotees during japa will be going, "Oh, oh." I mean, it would just, can you imagine, you know, oh my God. Oh my God, that would be a disaster. So we don't want that. But if spontaneously crying and tears are coming to your eyes, then cry. You know, don't hold it back. Just cry for Krishna. I think it's wonderful. To hear that is just really wonderful. At least someone has ecstasy. All right. Let's see, what time is it? Okay, I think it's time to end. Unless someone has a real quick question.
Please accept my humble obeisance, Gurudev.
Okay, Hare Krishna, Rakesh.
Hare Krishna, Gurudev. Gurudev, my question is, with regards to reading Chaitanya Charitamrita, how am I supposed to approach it while reading it? Like, they have so many slokas. Should I try to understand the meaning of each words and then try to grasp it and then move forward? Or like, with what bhava? Like, is it meant to be to understood in a...
Like, well, ultimately, if you're going to study it intensely, that's a good idea. But at this particular time, the way we're going through it is basically just the meaning of each shloka. But yes, it's like Bhagavatam. Ultimately, it would be a good idea, if one has the time, to study each shloka, to go through each word and analyze each word and see how the words fit in with each other. And Bhagavatam is like that too. That's why you could spend a month on each verse of Bhagavatam, as stated by Srila Prabhupada and Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur. Okay, thank you all for joining us. We have a nice amount of people tonight, 43. It's good to see everybody. I am so happy to see all you nice Vaishnavas. It keeps me alive. Okay, all glories to His Divine Grace, Srila Prabhupada, Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai.